Jesus is speaking. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Yes, he brings to our attention another fundamental of the Christian faith. You must be born again. And Jesus says this to Nicodemus. You remember, he was that Pharisee, that ruler of the Jews that came to Jesus by night. Nicodemus was a member of that same perverse generation to which the Apostle Peter preached and said, be saved from this perverse generation. And you will also remember that if you as an individual are saved from this perverse generation, you are separated from this perverse generation. And if you are separated from this perverse generation, you can no longer live as if you are a part of this corrupt generation. Your heart must be changed. God must perform radical heart surgery on you. For from within, Jesus said, out of the heart of men proceed the evil thoughts and fornications, thefts, murders, idolatries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. You see, your heart must be changed. You must be born again. And if this is true, and Jesus says it is true, we have some questions to answer. First, what does it mean to be born again? Exactly what does Jesus mean? Second, why is it necessary to be born again? Why does Jesus say you must be born again? Yes, your heart must be changed, but why is that the case? And third, how is a person born again? If you must be born again, how are you born again? The answers to these three questions will help us to understand Jesus when he says, do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Well, first of all, what does it mean to be born again? Let's take that question. It's obvious, it seems, that Jesus is talking about birth. And to us, birth signifies the beginning of life, the start of life. When a baby is born, that baby is beginning his or her life in this world. To be born again means to start life again. To start life a second time. Further, the word translated again in our text might be translated by the words from above. Jesus is saying, you must be born from above. To be born again or to be born a second time is to be born from above. And to be born from above simply means to be born of God. John chapter 1, verse 13, talks about this. It speaks of people who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So you see, to be born again, to be born a second time, means to be born from above, to be born from God. Now, to help us understand this further, Jesus speaks of two births in verse 6. He says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. There is a birth, Jesus says, that is of the flesh. And we know that's true. This is physical birth. Every person who enters this world through birth as a baby. This is the first birth. This is physical birth. And Jesus contrasts with this physical birth a spiritual birth. Again, he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. To be born spiritually is to be born of the Spirit. This is the second birth. To be born of the Spirit is to be born of God. To be born from above. To be born a second time. Jesus also speaks about being born of the Spirit in verse 8. Look at verse 8. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Everyone in this world experiences the first birth, or physical birth. But not everyone is born again of the Spirit from above, of God. Not everyone experiences the second birth. And this is the very thing that concerns the Lord Jesus when he says, you must be born again. But now let's define being born again of the Spirit of God a little bit more closely. And to do this, I'd like you to turn with me, if you would, to the letter of 1 John. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. Here we see John speak of those born of God. He says, no one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. Now, John is talking about those who are born of God. And he says that they cannot, as a habit of life, practice sin. Why? Those who have been born of God have God's seed in them. This is the seed of new life planted in the heart of an individual. When God places the seed of new life in a person, this person is born of God. And what is this seed of new life in the person who is born of God? Well, look at 1 John 3:24. And the one who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And we know by this that he abides in us, by the Spirit which he gives us. God gives us his Spirit. Also, 1 John 4:13. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. God gives us his Spirit. The seed of new life in the individual is the Spirit of the living God. And my friends, this is the seed of life which cannot die but must grow. The Apostle Peter says, for you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. The seed of new life which is placed within the heart of an individual is an imperishable seed. And when God places this imperishable seed in you, the Spirit, you are born again. You are born of the Spirit. This is a second birth in which new life begins to grow in you. And the seed again must grow. It is the Spirit of God. And it will bring forth fruit. To be born of the Spirit, therefore, means that God places his Spirit in you. The prophet Ezekiel in the Old Testament speaks about the very same thing. And if you would, turn with me to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 36. Verses 25 through 27. The prophet speaks, saying, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will be careful to observe my ordinances. In verse 27, God says, I will put my spirit within you. Here is the new birth, the second birth. God placing his spirit within you. And look at what goes along with this new birth. Verse 26, moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. A new heart goes along with this new birth. When God places his spirit in you and you are born again, you are given a new heart. Your old heart is removed. And that's important. You see, to remove sin, the heart must be changed. For as we've said before, from within, out of the heart of men, proceed the evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting, and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All of these things come out of a person's heart. This is the teaching of the Bible. And you are given a new heart when you are born again. And the marvelous thing about this is that you are given a new heart that seeks to serve God. Look at verse 27. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will be careful to observe my ordinances. Do you see it? Oh, dear friends, this is the mighty work of God giving you a new heart, causing you to be born again, causing you therefore to walk in his statutes and to be careful to observe his ordinances. And so when you are born again, you are given a new heart. And something else takes place. Cleansing. God cleanses you. The principle of sin in your life is removed. As God says in Ezekiel 36:25, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. The old heart is removed, and you are cleansed. Now if you go back to John chapter 3, look at verse 5. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus is talking about cleansing here too. Jesus means that you must be cleansed. You see, on one side, when a person is born again, there must be cleansing. The root and the principle of sin, the old heart must be removed. There must be cleansing. And on the other side, the seed of new life, the principle of new life must be added. The Spirit of God must be placed in a person. A new heart must be given. And when Jesus says you must be born of water and the Spirit, this is exactly what he is talking about. He is talking about cleansing from the old life and beginning a new life. He is talking about being born again. He is talking about being born of God. He is talking about being born from above, being born by the Spirit a second time. But now, if you look in our text in verse 7, Jesus says, you must be born again. And the question is, why is it necessary? Why is it a must? What is it that makes being born a second time an absolute necessity? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ answers our question again. And he does so in verses 3 and 5. Let's look at them. Verse 3. Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Verse 5. Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Here we see Jesus talk about the kingdom of God. And to really understand Jesus, we must know what he means. When we think of a kingdom, we usually think of a country, a territory, certain geographical bounds. The country or the territory ruled by a king is his kingdom. For instance, in the Old Testament, Nebuchadnezzar, the great king of Babylon, had a great kingdom, and it was Babylon. But when Jesus, on the other hand, speaks of the kingdom of God, he does not mean a particular territory or a particular domain. God's kingdom is God's rule, God's reign. It is not a kingdom of this world. God's kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. And God's kingdom amounts to spiritual rule. As Jesus said, "If I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." And what Jesus is saying is very simple. Wherever the spiritual rule of God is exercised, God's kingdom is present. Wherever the power of Satan is destroyed by the power of God, the kingdom of God is present. And of course, the one who exercises this power of God and brings in the kingdom is Christ. He is the king. He is the Lord over the kingdom. And to see the kingdom is to recognize the power of God and the rule of God through Christ for what it is. To enter the kingdom is to confess the power of God exercised through Christ over your life. And of course, this means repenting of sin and turning to serve Christ as Lord. This is what salvation is all about. I'm sure you remember the basic confession of the church as it was spoken by the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul said that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. The basic confession of the church is that Jesus Christ is Lord. And when you are saved, you make this confession. And God separates you from this perverse generation. And you enter the glorious kingdom of God. You repent of sin and you confess Jesus Christ as Lord. And you are, as Paul says, then transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God, into the kingdom of God's Son. But now I want you to go back and look at verses 3 and 5 of John chapter 3. Look at what Jesus said. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Without God first placing his Spirit in you, Jesus says, you cannot see or enter the kingdom of God. Without God first removing your sinful heart and giving you a new heart, you are unable. You cannot see or enter the kingdom of God. Without first being born again, you are unable. You do not have the power, Jesus says, to enter the kingdom of God. To enter the kingdom of God, you must confess Christ as Lord of your life. And you cannot sincerely do that from the heart without being born again. The Apostle Paul himself says it. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Do you see now why you must be born again? Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Truly, truly, I say unto you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. But now this brings us to our third question. If you must be born again, how are you born again? Jesus gives us the answer to that question in verse 8. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Jesus compares the blowing of the wind to the work of the Spirit. When you are born again, it is like the wind blowing on you. Something happens to you. God breathes His Spirit on you. When you were born in a hospital, you were a baby brought into this world. It was not your decision to be born. And I dare say you did not ask to come into this world. Birth was something that happened to you. You were born. You were brought into the world. And the same is true as you are born again, born a second time of the Spirit. This is what verse 8 teaches us. Read it again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Just as the wind blows where it wishes, the Spirit blows on whom He wishes. You do not control the Holy Spirit of God. He works when and how He wishes. It is not your decision, then, to be born again. It is God's. He bestows new life as He wishes. The work of the Spirit in giving new life to individuals is a sovereign work of God, which is not controlled or directed by men. The wind blows where it wishes, Jesus says, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And the work of the Spirit in giving new life, Jesus says, is also an invisible work. Jesus says you do not see the wind, and that's true. You do not know where it comes from and where it is going. The wind itself is invisible. It is unseen. You don't see the wind. You see the results of the wind. You see the wind by what it does. You only know the wind is present when you hear the leaves rustling in the trees. And Jesus says, so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. The Spirit is also invisible. And the movements of the Spirit cannot be detected by sight or feel. When the Spirit of God approaches, you neither see Him nor feel Him. You cannot feel the Spirit with your hands. The work of the Spirit in giving new life is therefore secret and invisible. You know the Spirit is present, however, by what He does, by the fruit He produces. And as surely as you see the results of the wind blowing in the trees, just as surely you will see the results of God's Spirit in giving new life
Remember, when the seed of new life is planted in a person's heart, it will grow. That seed will grow. It is an imperishable seed. It will produce fruit. And two of the fruits of being born again are very plain in an individual's life. They are on one side repentance from sin, and they are on the other side faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus tells us that when the Spirit comes, He convinces of sin. And you remember again, it is only by the Spirit that a sincere confession of Jesus as Lord can be made. So how are we born again? We are born again by a sovereign work of the Spirit of God in giving new life. And you are given a new heart. We are given new hearts, which turn us from sin and lead us to faith in Christ. Now look again at our text, John 3:7. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Do not marvel or be surprised. The fact is, you must be born again. To enter God's kingdom, you must have a new heart. You must be born of the Spirit. To enter God's kingdom, you must sovereignly, by an act of God's grace, be sovereignly changed. God must perform radical heart surgery upon you and change you from the inside out. You must be born again. And since you must be born again, dear friends, let me ask you, are you born again? Don't be surprised at my asking that question. It's a very important one. Has the wind of God's Spirit blown upon you? Has God given you a new heart? Has the seed of new life been planted in you? And does God's Spirit live in you? Well, you say, how can I tell? I cannot control God's Spirit. I cannot see Him and I cannot feel Him. At least from what you say, that's true. Yes, this is quite true. But I want to tell you, there is a way you can tell if you have been born again. And it is your sincere attitude about sin and about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what is your attitude about sin? Are you repentant and sorry, turning from sin? And what is your attitude about the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you confess Him as your Lord? Have you entered God's kingdom and do you strive to live a life for Christ? You see, to turn from sin and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are evidences that the new birth has indeed taken place. Listen to what John says in 1 John 5:1. Listen carefully. He says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. In other words, if you sincerely trust in Christ unto salvation, you are born again. And so how can you tell if you have been born again? Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Once again, the only way to answer the question is to come to Jesus. Have you been born of God? Born of God? If you have, thank Him for that unspeakable gift. And if that question is not yet answered for you, come to Christ. You can only come to God if He has given you a new heart. You can only come to Christ if you are born again. So come. Ask God to forgive you of your sins.
Trust in Christ for salvation. Enter the kingdom of God. Confess Jesus as your Lord. Jesus says you must be born again. And so, my friend, be satisfied that you are. Come now for Jesus. Come and answer that question once and for all.